You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Our very special evening with David Duke continues right now with us for not just the bulk of one, but 2 hours tonight. And of course, David Duke, the former member of the Louisiana State House of Representatives, former gubernatorial nominee and nominee for United States Senate out of the Republican Party. He got to be such a threat, the sitting president of the United States, George Bush, had to come and denounce his party's own nominee in Louisiana. They pulled out all the tricks and they barely stopped him. Folks, if you aren't familiar with some of those campaigns,
and I still maintain that it was probably some election fraud involved in it, too.
There was a lot of outside influences, to be sure. But in any event, we continue now. We don't have to reintroduce him. I don't think he needs an introduction at all, but I do like to impress upon just how high he rose and how fast and what a big threat he was, which is why he is probably the most attacked American, if not the most attacked man in the world.
Living American.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so here's, David, I want to present what I'm about to tell you. Just give me a minute to set it up, and then we'll really dive into this, because I'm going to take a minute to set the table on this, because I think it is absolutely remarkable. And I want to try to do that without getting bogged down into elements of World War II, which they love to mire us down with. But on May the 10th, so just last week, the ADL posted this. This was their tweet on Twitter. On this day in 1933, students across Germany burned over 25,000 books. In this event, we lost invaluable records of Jewish history that could have benefited future generations, which is one reason why it's important we learn to never forget and continue advocating for Holocaust education. That was the ADL's post to Twitter on May the 10th. What I'm about to read to you, ladies and gentlemen, is astonishing. I am not going through the hundreds of replies to this and cherry-picking a few random examples to try to make a point or to have some confirmation bias.
These are typical.
Now, what I'm going to read is just the first 20 or so right from the top, just straight down. And I read through these exhaustively, and I couldn't find anything except for comments like this. But I'm just going to read the top 20 from the time it was posted through comment number 20, and just to give you an idea. These are some of the responses to the tweet that I just read. On March 24th, 1933, World Judea declared holy war on Germany. Global economic boycott of German origin goods attacked others and claimed that the response to the provocation resulted in persecution. Another comment. What books could you specify? What was in these books? Are you sure it wasn't 6 million books burned? Because that would take a lot longer than one night. Continuing on, what books did they burn? Another comment. Books on gender ideology and transgenderism, as well as the teachings of Marx, the most evil and death-causing doctrine ever to be spoken. The Frankfurt School was pure evil. Cultural Marxism suffered a blow, but it slowly crept back in. Another comment. Did they burn your precious pederast manuals? Another comment. A quote of the scriptures here, John chapter 8, verse 44, King James Version. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Another comment. What were the books about? Can you tell us the topics they discussed? Another comment. What were these invaluable books? I doubt it was Old Testament books. Another comment. What was in these books? Any records? Another comment. What were the titles of the books they burned? Another comment. Anti-Semitism is believing what your ancestors said about Jews instead of believing what Jews say about your ancestors. Another comment. They never told you what books they were burning. It goes on and on and on like this. What books specifically? I think it's important to clarify the history. Otherwise, you people get to deny it. One comment. Her name was Mary Fagan. All right, so this is the point. And I could go on and on and on and on. There are hundreds of comments like that, which we were talking about something another person said recently in last week's show, David. And the quote was, "Never has the anti-racist left been so powerful or so ridiculous. And also, never have we faced greater censorship or had so much popular appeal." Does it surprise you? These people, you know, before I was banned on Twitter, you were banned from Twitter a couple of years ago now. But I'm looking through the screen names or the handle, the Twitter handles of the people leaving these comments, and I don't recognize any of them. So it leads me to believe that there are a lot of people out there who are beginning to get it or at least question some certain things that are not currently populating our ranks. Does it surprise you that a post like that would get that much natural and organic pushback from the people? That's pretty pointed and remarkable comments.
Well, that's the reason for that is really clear. Because it's like you're in a room. I don't care if you're in Congress or in media or government or campaign funding or whatever. And it's like it's a great big giant mastodon in the room. You know, it's like dinosaur size, right?
Not the gorilla in the room, but the mastodon in the room.
Yeah, mastodon, right. And you could say it's a mammoth, too. That means big. But mastodon's a pretty good one. It sounds strong. But Jewish power is absolutely real. Jewish supremacy, I'm not talking about the fact that they are supreme over us in any way morally or even intellectually. They're not. But they are supreme in their power over us, because if you can control the major media and the Hollywood movie industry and radio and television, even sports broadcasting, and turn it into a propaganda means like they do with ESPN, by Disney, which was run by a great Christian, Walt Disney, is now something that's promoting and trying to make your kids homosexual. Great, huh? Maybe promote your kids to believe that they're not even of their own sex, that they were born. Now, the percentage of kids identified with the other sex, male or female, just 20 years ago, was minuscule. It was like zero. Now it's 10%. Now, we didn't change biologically that much in the last 20 years or 30 years. So what happened? This is propaganda. This is evil. And those kind of books that they burned, the books like pedophilia, what they burned, pornography was one of the biggest things they burned. Now, I don't believe in book burning. But let me tell you something. What they do today to freedom and truth is far worse than book burning, because like one Catholic speaker once told me, and I've heard Protestants say the same thing, is that he says they're not so concerned about burning books, you know, of their books. They said if they burn the books, you kind of know about them. At least you recognize their existence. A big deal is made about it, right? But what they do is they quietly censor it and suppress it. And they do that through the search engines, which they control. And they control our minds in so many ways. And I talked today, and what I've been doing a lot of research on recently, and since we had a little more time today, this is kind of a good idea. So I talked to the religious aspect of Judaism about how anti-Christ it is and how anti-every sort of morality it is, by the way. And their belief is that only Jews are men. I can show you that not just in the Talmud, but in the Jewish Encyclopedia, which was the biggest book of the entirety of world Judaism back in the 1920s and 30s, how the Talmud says very clearly that only Jews are people. The truth is that Judaism is really a belief, not so much in God, but as in Jews. And this is what people don't know. Judaism is a religion based upon race. It's a racial religion. More racial religion.
Hold on right there. I know I took a little bit of extra time to set that one up, but thankfully we've got extra time to spend. We're going to give it to David to run through it when we come back. Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, then you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog, with exclusive offerings like Rebel Mountain by Kurt Eggers, a brand new reprint of the infamous You Gentiles by Maurice Samuel, and now the treatise of a January 6th prisoner in the American regime, There is something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the complete catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to check out antelopehillpublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
I spent the entire commercial break scrolling through the comments to this thread that we were talking about, this tweet from the ADL, which we were talking about at the top of the last segment, and I still haven't found one of anybody
supporting.
Well, here's just five more. Oh, you mean the books about transgenderism, communist literature, pornography, the books that blasphemed against Christianity? Are those the invaluable records of Jewish history you mentioned? I bet the replies aren't going the way you thought they would. Another comment, these comments give me so much hope. Another comment, the ADL is an anti-white organization. And finally, but you're in favor of censorship. And that's the thing that's interesting, David. They lament this the book burning of here, but
yeah,
they
have the biggest
done everything
censors
they could.
And
they're against censorship.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're
and
all
under communism, they
need.
Kill people for possessing a. They killed many thousands of people in Russia for possessing a Bible or a crucifix or a cross on their neck. They tortured them. I mean, you can't make this up. In Ukraine, they killed 7 to 11 million. But all you ever hear about Ukraine is Baba Yar, where 40,000 Jews were allegedly killed. You don't hear about the 10 million Christians, Ukrainians, Cossacks, really, because that's what the Ukrainians were, Cossacks and Rus. The Cossacks were murdered by the Jews. They were starved to death, mainly women and children. Women couldn't even feed their babies. See, they don't talk about this. But I'm going to shock some of you a little bit, because we're going to go into a different path than we've ever talked about in this program. And I want to give you an understanding about Judaism. I know you're not supposed to attack other religions, but you've got to understand that Judaism is not like any other religion on earth. It's the most
cultural
racial religion
ethnic identity.
So let me, yes, exactly. Let me give you an example. All right, this is from the article, My Jewish Learning, and about you have to believe in God to be a Jew. And it goes through how even historical Judaism, Maimonides was the most famous Jewish philosopher, he's in the Talmud as well, back in the Middle Ages, right? And he says, the actual principles articulated by Maimonides were not terribly revolutionary. What was revolutionary was Maimonides' claim that belief in these principles was essential to one's Jewish identity. Traditionally, listen to this, folks, Jewish identity had been defined biologically. According to Rabbinic Judaism, if one's mother was Jewish, then one was Jewish regardless of one's actions and belief. And they go back, literally, the Jewish priest class has to be shown to have only Jewish mothers for 1,000 years, even though that's impossible, 2,000 years, 2,000 1,000 generations. I mean, it's really kind of amazing, or maybe hundreds of generations back. And then it goes and says, modern Jewish thinkers, particularly liberal theologians, have tried to reclaim the rabbinic attitude toward the belief, right? And they go on to say, though most of the thinkers, this is what they say, the evolution of God. Now, they even evolved how Judaism thinks of God. Eric Fromm, his radical interpretations for the Hebrew Bible, quote, you shall be as gods. This is what really Jews believe, that they are believed they're the tissue of God, and they are superior to all other people, and they have a right to rule other people. That's what they really believe. God becomes progressively less real and relevant in traditional Jewish literature. Wow. He says, at the beginning of the Bible, God is an absolute ruler who can and does destroy the world when he's not happy with it. In the next stage, however, God relinquishes his absolute power by making a covenant a covenant. And what was the covenant, by the way? It was with one people above all other people, supposedly. God's power is limited because it's subject to the terms of the covenant. Right? The third stage of God's evolution or devolution comes from his relation with Moses, in which he presents himself as a nameless God. The evolution of God doesn't stop with the Bible. Ironically, Maimonides takes it further by positing that nothing can be said about God. He says, we can venture to say that God isn't, but God's positive attributes are unthinkable. And then it goes on in the more recent discussion, Howard Wettstein, a philosopher, goes on to say, Riverside, Webster's vision of Judaism is more traditional than Fromm's, and yet he gives more credence to the Jew who rejects the supernatural God, in other words, rejects God being God, that basically God is the Jews. Wettstein acknowledges the object of this awe as God. He does, however, propose that this awe, a meaningful life it helps to create, is available to a naturalist who rejects a supernatural God. In other words, God is represented in the people. Quote, Wettstein is not interested in philosophical reductions of the idea God is what God is, and attempts to say the word God really refers to some aspect of natural world, whether he accepts the imagery of a Jewish God and God as Jews. In other words, and by the way, if you can look up any Google research, as I was telling you earlier, just type in, do religious Jews believe in an afterlife? Do Jews believe in afterlife? The answer is no. No. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. And so what are they going to do? You're going to achieve power over other people, whatever you can do, because you're not going to be punished for anything bad you do, and you're not going to be saved by any generous God because
there's
no afterlife.
Well, David, let me ask you this. Do they believe they are God then, and that maybe they're living the afterlife?
I'm just going to give you one example. This is going to be very critical now in this program, and it's something that explains everything. And it was a very popular article in the most powerful Jewish website in the world. It's called Times of Israel. Yes, Times of Israel. It's promoted not by a bunch of radical Jews off in the desert somewhere, by billionaire Jews. Billionaire Jews. Sheldon Neddison was one of those Jews. Many other Jews. Right? And it's called Remembering the Holocaust, What's New About the Old Anti-Semitism. And it's written by the president of B'nai Baruch Kabbalah Foundation. Kabbalah is from the Zohar in the Talmud. It's a vicious book of black magic and all sorts of evil, and it's just amazing to read it, right? But he goes on to teach people that anti-Semitism is the worst thing in the history of the world. Anti-Semitism is the most evil thing, and this is what the Nazis were. And anybody's an anti-Semite is like they're a Nazi. They're going to kill children. That's what they want to say the Nazis did. Well, you have to decide for yourselves about that if you ever read both sides of the story. The truth is that Jews killed a lot more women and children. They killed a lot more people, civilians, in war than the Germans ever thought about, and in the peacetime even with the communists. He said, quote, now, this is what he says. So he says that anti-Semitism is on the rise, and that the people of the world cannot escape anti-Semitism. In other words, all the people of the world, by the way, who are 99.8% of the population, including all the European peoples, all the Asian peoples, all the Mexican peoples, the South Americans, Africans, all people, right? That all people in the world, all humanity, except for Jews, right? This is what he says. Anti-Semitism, it's in their genes and in their blood. It's a law of nature. And then it goes on to say that we don't have to worry about what the Gentiles do. We got to worry about what we do, and we have to correct them. And then he goes on to say, quote, he even quotes Isaiah, and he says, so what's on the horizon? That everyone will gang up against the Jews, Antichrist Jews, until Jews open their eyes and realize they have no choice but to activate the spirit of connectedness. In other words, global racial identity. Well, they already have that connectedness. There's no people on earth that fight more for their own race than Jews do. They're the ultimate racial supremacists. And he says, only in this case will anti-Semitism cease. And what case does he say where anti-Semitism will cease? Quote, and he quotes from Isaiah, and all nations will acknowledge and recognize Israel's merit over them. Israel over them, Jews over Christians, over non-Jewish people, until the realization of the words, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them.
How
what are you saying right
David,
there?
To one worldism? Is that, in other words,
exactly,
one world government, and the Jews are going to be in charge?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, Ben-Gurion, who was the first prime minister of Israel, he even said he doesn't believe in a supernatural God. He doesn't believe in God. But he issued a prophecy. It was actually published in Look magazine. They asked many people around the world to say what the belief for the world would be like in a few years, in a few decades from when he did this. And he said he believed that over time, all armies will be abolished. A truly united race nations will grow up. And its headquarters will be in Israel, where they will build a shrine to the prophets. We're talking about Christianity here. We're talking about Judaism. This is the United Nations under the control of Jews. I mean, you can't make it up. And there, a Supreme Court will be established, right, which will decide all, you know, questions between mankind. All armies will be abolished. A Supreme Court of the world. This is what Ben-Gurion even said in the Look magazine article that he viewed for the world. Yet he was a guy that didn't believe in God. What he's talking about there is Jewish rule over the world. Now, that may sound crazy, but remember, communism was a Jewish movement. My book, The Secret Behind Communism, shows that. I mean, Solzhenitsyn proved that to me beyond a shadow of a doubt when I was working with him in Russia. Communism is a Jewish movement. And the communists, from the very beginning time of it, Karl Marx and beyond down, all these Jews and communists all over the world, they led it all over the world, including America, Canada, Europe, Hungary, Germany, everywhere. They had the Communist Party in Germany was a Jew. We can go on. Hungary was a Jew. It was everywhere. So what communism was, it was a world movement to control the world. And the chief biographer, Winston Churchill, talks about how the Jews made Churchill an asset for the Jews. And that Leon Trotsky, the first head of the Red Army of Russia, believed that Jews would rule the world through communism. And he doesn't refute that in his book called Churchill and the Jews. And this is the Jewish official British biographer of Winston Churchill. This is kind of things that you have to understand. And maybe when you understand the folks,
you'll change. Two segments left with David Duke.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Rich Johnson. Contentious, maybe putting it mildly, as House Republicans and Democrats listen to some FBI officials talk about retaliation over blowing the whistle on what they say was the Bureau targeting conservatives.
I sacrificed my dream job to share this information with the American people. I humbly ask all the members to do your jobs and consider the merit.
Former FBI agent Steve Friend says he was suspended after expressing concern about how the Bureau was handling cases related to January 6th. But as for his whistleblower status...
These are not whistleblowers. They've been determined by the agency not to be whistleblowers. Are you deciding that they're whistleblowers?
Yes, the law decides. Did you not listen to Mr. Levitt's testimony?
That's panel chair Jim Jordan and Democrat Debbie Wasserman Schultz. It's not often we see a unanimous ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court, but all nine justices all agree social media companies cannot be held liable for terrorist attacks because some people use the platforms to spread terrorist ideology. It's a bipartisan group of House members who've introduced a bill to mandate that all cars be equipped with AM radios. Several automakers are not putting AM into their electric vehicles, citing interference generated by the electric motors. Others have found ways to work around that. Several news agencies say they've confirmed that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will file the paperwork with the Federal Election Commission next week and officially become a candidate for the Republican presidential nomination. He's expected to formally kick off the campaign with an event after Memorial Day in his hometown of Dunedin, Florida. President Biden's at the G7 summit in Japan. Top aides say there will not be any arm twisting at the table when it comes to China. Russia and Ukraine are expected to also be top topics. Pro golf's second major of the season, the PGA Championship, is underway. Justin Thomas is the defending champ going into round one at Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester, New York. This is USA News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save the typical family $500 a month. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
We just had a killer a discussion off the air during the break, and we're going to try to weave some of this in now with only 30 minutes remaining with our featured guest of the evening. It's gone by quickly. Now we're going to have to speed things up because time is getting shorter, and there's still several things I want to cover. We want to get to Elon Musk, and I want to end with a little more of a retrospective with David. But, David, we were talking about Donald Trump, and I mentioned last week that I thought that he gave a particularly good performance in his CNN town hall. He made mention of the fact that he's still sort of disinvesting people's hope in the system, which I think we need in order to have a future on this continent. We're not going to reform the system. It is too criminally corrupt with regards to the elections and the media and the government. He's saying you cannot, with regards to the E. Jean Carroll verdict, you cannot get a fair trial. I think that's important, and it's very true. It's important for people to understand that. And then, of course, you have this whole situation with the arrests, the indictments that he's facing, more to come out of Atlanta, to be sure.
And what it points out, too, is this. What do Vladimir Putin, Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Georgia Maloney, all these people have in common? All of them kiss Jewish behinds, and the Jews hate them, hate their guts nonetheless.
But in any event, I think Trump is our best chance at destabilizing the system. The Jews certainly see him. The system him as an avatar for whites. But you were bringing up, let's talk about that. Let's talk about Musk. But where do you want to talk about with Trump, where he stands now in terms of what he can do, whether purposely or inadvertently?
Or is he a Jewish agent?
And we've only got two little segments left, and I just want to emphasize a couple of points, and this is part of it, right, which you're going to talk about Trump here. Understand, the reason they hated Trump, he gave Israel every lip service in the world, but they all do that, right? Biden does that. They all give Israel everything they want. They give them billions of dollars of taxpayers' money. They fight $1 trillion of wars with thousands and thousands of American casualties and damage to this country, like in the Iraq war, based on lies. It was a war for Israel. They did the same thing in Afghanistan. It was not necessary. If they wanted to go get bin Laden, they could have got him. We didn't need to be in Afghanistan. All those deaths, all those sad American mothers and fathers and wives and so forth back home and children. These were Jewish wars. This is because there's a common denominator in all this. It's Jewish power. It was Jewish media power, like the New York Times, that created this war. It was Jewish government power that did it. The Iraq war was a Jewish war. It's even talked about by Jewish publications. And when Trump got elected, he was against NATO. The reason why he's against NATO, because he knows that the Russian nation is a Christian nation today. The average Russian agrees 100 times more with the average positions of the average American than does the Congress of the United States as a whole, than does the media as a whole. The government of this country is an enemy of the people. Russia is not an enemy of the people. So let's go into Trump a little bit, right? So he got elected, and the first thing they did was try to say that the election was stolen. Well, it wasn't stolen at all, and they tried to say Russians did it. They didn't do it. They created this lie. That was the real coup d'etat. That was the real overthrow, the rebellion against the government. If you want an insurrection, that's what it was. And they tried to allege all this stuff with the Russia gate and all this stuff about urination gate and all that crap. But everybody leading it from the very beginning, it was financed by Singer, who was a big Jew pro-LGBT queer, who was one of the biggest funders in the Republican Party. You know how they try to control both? Why is he in the Democratic Party? That's not exactly a Republican position.
Like it's because one of the Jews want to control.
Exactly. So he was the guy that created the Steele dossier. And that was done by also, and it was turned over when these leftist publications like The Beacon and these other so-called neoconservative publications, Jewish owned, they couldn't survive. So they turned it over to the Democrats. Elias, the big Democratic guy, a Jew, and Sussman, he was actually charged with felony, not plagiarism. What's the word for it? Lying under oath, felony. Then everything. Rosenstein. They orchestrated getting out Sessions, and they got Rosenstein to appoint the prosecutor. They had Jamie Raskin leading the impeachment. The impeachment was led by Schiff, right, in the House Intelligence Committee, Ingalls in the International Relations Committee, and Nadler in the Judiciary Committee. Boy, it is a judiciary today, let me tell you, like Roberta Kaplan. Now, the whole case, by the way, the criminal case in Manhattan, by the way, is under a black prosecutor right now. But the prosecutors that led the case against Trump, where this is founded on, was a Jew, right? And in fact, he got mad because the black prosecutor wasn't pursuing it hard enough. He resigned in protest, and he basically forced the black DA to go ahead and prosecute the case. Otherwise, he was going to be ashamed. That was a Jew there and behind that, right? We can just keep going on and on and on. The case, the Carroll case, E. Jean Carroll. She's Jewish. I got a Jewish website right in front of me that says, Jewish woman, claims Trump raped her, right? Jewish woman, and sexually assaulted her, and blah blah blah, and so this is a Jewish website. She's Jewish. Her lawyer was Roberta Kaplan, the same one that is bankrupting many many patriots standing up for us in this country, the Charlottesville cases, right? And I've got an article, in fact, from none other. Let me get it for you. It's kind of amazing to think about all this stuff. Yeah, this is actually from Google, and it says Roberta Kaplan in the E.G. Carroll case. She's the attorney for it, and the judge's name is Kaplan. And the Google goes out of its way to say, and this is from a CNBC article that they quote, but it's a big quote on this one. When I actually searched for Roberta Kaplan, Judge Kaplan, and E.G. Carroll, and they go out of their way to say, well, Kaplan, Roberta Kaplan, and the Judge Kaplan are not related, but they are related, because practically every Jew in the world, according to Jewish top geneticists, are like fifth cousins. The chance of you meeting somebody in the world is your fifth cousin is like 200 to 1, and a lot of Jews are third and fourth cousins. I guarantee you, she's probably a lot more than a fifth cousin. She's both got the same name. She's both Ashkenazi Jew. She's probably way more than a fifth cousin. But Jews are related. All Jews are taught from the time they're born. And again, Jews are primarily a racial group, and they have organizations that stand up for Jews. And they don't care whether the Jew's an atheist or the Jew's a believer in God.
Kinship group.
It's a partisan, racist organization that openly mandates that they're working for the people, the interest of Jews, and the advancement of Jewish
power.
But at
the same time, I see what you're saying, but we need to be, Keith, you've said this before, if you want to know what's working, see what the left's doing, we need to be a lot more like them in terms of our ethnocentricity and building up a wall like they've got. If we could learn, if we mimic a lot of their activities, we'd be a lot better off.
But it's ironic, isn't it? Here we have a situation. Here's Israel. Now, they've got laws in Israel. You cannot perform a marriage between a Jew and a Gentile. And by the way, they only care about the person if he's a Jew by blood or a Gentile by blood. They don't care about they don't care that you're religious. It's not a religious law. It is a racial law. And they can't marry in Israel. They can't have a public ceremony. You can't have a legal ceremony for marriage in Israel. Now, I remember I was overseas a few years ago. I'm from South Louisiana, and one of the parts of my old district was Hammond, Louisiana. And Hammond, Louisiana is like, it's just a country place, right? And there was a justice of the peace in Hammond, Louisiana, who was a very strong Christian. And this woman, white woman, came with a black and wanted him to marry her. And he was very polite to the couple. He said, look, you do whatever you want. You have a right to be married. It's against my faith, and I don't believe in intermarriage. So I'd rather you go to another justice of the peace just for doing that. That was a worldwide story about how evil people in Louisiana, because they wouldn't allow an interracial marriage, just one justice of the peace. And like he was like a Nazi evil person. Israel doesn't even allow a single marriage to be performed in Israel. I mean, you can't make it up, right? But how do they hide this from you? How do they keep this from you? How do they do it? Because they control the media. Then they control the power structure. Now, I'm going to play Musk real quickly and with a real important thing here. I'm going to maybe see if I can play it for you about a digital god. You ready?
Larry Page and I used to be close friends, and I would stay at his house in Palo Alto, and I would talk to him late into the night about AI safety. And at least my perception was that Larry was not taking AI safety seriously enough.
What did he say about it?
He really seemed to be what it wants, sort of digital super intelligence, basically digital god, if you will.
Digital god.
As soon as possible.
He wanted that?
Yes. He's made many public statements over the years that the whole goal of Google is what's called AGI, Artificial General Intelligence, or Artificial Super Intelligence. You know, and I agree with him that there's great potential for good, but there's also potential for bad. And so if you've got some radical new technology, you want to try to take a set of actions that maximize probably it will do good and minimize probably it will do bad things.
Let me play the end of this now.
The AI should lie.
Yes.
At the time...
Hold on, David, let's get back to this at the top of the next segment. I hear the music, and we'll play the second half of this clip and get your response to it. One more segment with David Duke, former member of the Louisiana State House of Representatives, gubernatorial and senatorial nominee for the Republican Party, author, and so much more. DavidDuke.com. We'll be right back with you.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Well, just as organizations like the ADL certainly don't concern themselves with their hypocrisy on censorship, but Elon Musk seems to have a little bit of schizophrenia on the topic as well. He talks a big game, whereas more and more people are getting purged every day from his platform. Whether he knows it or not, we don't know. But that's who we're talking about now. And David had just.
Well, I think he's getting a realization how powerful these people are, and he wants to survive. He doesn't want to be destroyed. He wants to be some sort of a voice. So he's trying to go right up next to the envelope, right? And
I would agree with that. I want to say, I even though I was banned.
Even though I don't believe in self-censorship, and I don't think he should do that, but I understand what he's doing. Let me play the rest of it.
I just want to say, I want to be clear, too, though. I still have a favorable opinion overall of Musk, and I'll certainly take
it. Oh, I do, too.
Yeah, so, you know, even though me and you are both banned. Go.
Well, listen to this now. This is really amazing when you think about this. Here we go.
I said, well, what about, you know, we're going to make make sure humanity's okay here.
About AI.
And then he called me a speciesist.
did he use that term?
As in Homo sapiens, you know, as people. Okay.
And there were witnesses. I wasn't the only one there when he called me a speciesist. And so I was like, okay, that's it. Yes, I'm a speciesist. Okay. You got me. What are you?
The answer to that is he's a Jew.
Yeah, I'm fully a speciesist.
And he doesn't consider himself like the rest of humanity.
So, a different species.
That was his last straw. At the time, Google had acquired DeepMind, and so Google and DeepMind together had about 3/4 of all the AI talent in the world. They obviously had a tremendous amount of money and more computers than anyone else. What's happening is they're training the AI to lie.
Yes.
It's bad.
To lie. That's exactly right. And to withhold information.
To lie and yes, comment on some things, not comment on other things, but not to say what the data actually demands that it say.
So, wow. Man.
Well, you know, that's interesting because a lot of the early AI were getting shut down because they're computers, so they're trying to pick up on patterns and data.
Yeah,
and
they want a digital god that they can control. And what they present to the world, you see, when they talk about being a religion and we believe in God, the New Testament says it all the way through. How do you know who the Antichrist is? Well, just go to the person who says that, you know, just encounter the person that says, I'm of the Father, but not of the Son. He said, that's who the Antichrist is. That's how you know who identify the Antichrist is. And so they say, they try to create this God who says, Jews are the chosen people of God. So you got to support Jews by supporting God. But Jews are behind every sort of evil you can name. And the New Testament is about a new revelation. It's about a new covenant with those that accept Jesus Christ, which is a very different attitude than obviously the Jews. So it's just, he also says, by the way, he also talks about George Soros. I don't have time to play that thing, but he said he talks about George Soros, and he got in big trouble for comparing George Soros to this this Marvel hero or whatever, the X-Men hero named Magento. I can't pronounce it anyway. So this, who was supposed to be a Holocaust survivor, but he's like the ultimate villain, and he got in real trouble for this, right? And these two Jews wrote an article in the Washington Post about how anti-Semitic all that was. And then he's being interviewed by another Jew on CNBC, and this Jew says, "Well, you got to be careful. You know, are you anti-Semitic?" And Musk says, "No." He says, "I'm." Pro-Jewish or pro-Semitic or whatever. He doesn't know what, but that's a good way to answer him. You know, but he's also against Jewish racism. But anyway, he didn't say that, but he should have. But then he goes on to say that George Soros, and he said, but you said George Soros, you know, was the enemy of all humanity, that George Soros was trying to destroy the fabric of Western civilization. And Musk said, yes, I believe that. It's true. He's an enemy of all humanity. And that's the perfect way to, we're not finished quite at the interview, but that's kind of the perfect way to circle back and go into what I was talking to you about earlier, and about the article by Latham from the Times of Israel, which states very clearly, that, quote, the people who are anti-Semites are like Nazis. That this is born into anti-science in their genes, that's their essence, and that the only, you know, he's basically saying that all the goyim of the world, all the non-Jews of the world, in the whole world, that's 99.8% of the population of the earth. Get this in your mind, folks. And if you're a Gentile, if you're a Christian, Gentile, or you're a Christian of any kind, or a Gentile of any kind, or any race, that's your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your friends, your family, your grandparents. That is a goyim. And you are basically evil. And you're not even truly, in a real sense, a human being. Because you are evil. And that's the words he used, folks. That's no argument in that. That's the words he used. He said, quote, he said, the non-Jews of the world are, in fact, anti-Semitism is in their genes. It's in their blood. It's a fact of life. So he says they're like Nazis. And he says the only thing we could do is take over, correct them, control them. In fact, the Israel must possess them. The Jews of the world must rule them, just like David, Ben-Gurion was talking about. It's amazing.
You're talking about the censorship of AI, how they're trying to reprogram AI now. That sounded like Tucker Carlson interviewing Elon Musk. Of course, Tucker just got censored. And then I was thinking back while you were speaking just a moment ago about how we were talking earlier, of course, and we've mentioned throughout the night, your electoral success, how close you came to very, very real power, and what they had to do to stop you. But even back then, even back in the early 90s, and even beyond that, it was not unusual at all to see you being interviewed by Wolf Blitzer or Bill O'Reilly or any of these very major...
I was on Meet the Press
three times. Meet the Press. Yeah, see, all the biggest
Today Show
biggest
with
TV
Barbara Walters. Donahue interviewed me. I was on Evening News many, many times. Peter Jennings.
You were everywhere.
Chancellor.
Many times.
Huntley Brinkley. God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but right. You've been covered by everybody, but you were also given the opportunity to speak for yourself. Those opportunities have been entirely disallowed, you know, going back now 15 years. You know, that all dried up. But by the way, one of the people who interviewed you just passed away. I know you were very sad to see Jerry Springer be called home to his eternal home. But anyway, those appearances.
People, but
those interviews.
But again, I don't wish anybody bad.
No.
But you know what?
I say that in jest. But no, I got to ask you a question, that's gone, and Tucker's gone, and AI, they're trying to reprogram the censorship and the repression. But it's still, you know, going back to that, just that one example we gave earlier this hour, it seems like more and more people are speaking out than even they were when it was less restrictive.
I want you to understand something. Well, James, you and our friend and everybody listening got to understand something. They're trying to shut down your brain. They're trying to take over part of your body. This is the biggest danger to freedom, free thought, whatever your religious thoughts are, whatever your political thoughts are, whatever your ideals are. And by the way, the other day they had a hearing in Washington, D.C. So, again, remember what Musk said, vital things, that Soros not just was an enemy of Western civilization, he was an enemy of humanity. And that's exactly what Musk said, by the way, about Larry Page. He wants a digital god, a god that they can control. Here's a headline from the Washington Post, right? That American Congress is requested to require a license to build AI. They want you to have a license to build artificial intelligence. Why do they want that? Because they only want it to be controlled by the big boys. Because they want to control AI to control your mind and to influence you in all these ways. So, I mean, here I'll just give you the start
and
of the story.
And the big boys are Jewish power and influence.
Well, and if left unencumbered,
well, here's the guy,
AI
the guy
would draw the same conclusions we have.
Yeah, the guy that lectured Congress and said we have to have control, OpenAI startup behind ChatGPT wants the U.S. to consider mandating licenses for companies to develop powerful artificial intelligence. So the Congress. Now, the CEO, first appearance in congressional panel, CEO Sam Altman, Jewish, is set to advocate licensing and registration requirements for AI with certain capabilities, written testimony, because they want this to be controlled by them and only one.
All right.
So,
David,
Larry Page wants a digital god, but they want a god controlled by them the same way that they're controlling the image of God all over the world in movies by acting like the Jews have a special covenant with God today. But according to Christian theology and Christian New Testament, that's not true. The connection between the average Christian and most people is between individuals and God. But Jews want you to think that God
is
in favor.
They are Christians now.
This is an important question. With only 2 minutes remaining, I'll remind everybody, DavidDuke.com. You can keep up with him there.
This is like basic, important, vital stuff to understanding your life, folks, and understanding what's going on in the world today.
At the website and on his show at Rents Radio. But I got to ask you this. You call me a white man. And I don't take offense to that. That's what I am. We call most of our black neighbors in New Orleans and Memphis, hey, you're a black guy. Yeah, of course I am. Why is it that you've spoken a lot about Jewish power and influence during the interview tonight? Why is it, and I ask this as a serious question, not to make a point or a gotcha thing, why do Jews get so offended when they are identified as Jewish people? Honestly.
Maybe they know something we don't.
Well, it's very obvious. Because if they actually identified Jews who are criminals, and identify them as Jew. Let me tell you, look at the Epstein spy ring. They're all Jews. Epstein was a Jew. Ghislaine was a Jew, along with her father, the biggest spy for Israel, Maxwell. Dershowitz's attorney was Jew. They're all Jews, right? So if they identified Jews in a negative way, people would begin to see these Jews. That's why when they talk about Israel, even though it's a Jewish state, every Jew in Israel calls himself a Jew, and it's a Jewish state. They never say Jews bombed the Palestinians. They never say Jews terrorized and kicked out the Palestinians. They never say Jews are behind, you know, George Soros is a Jew and a very conscious Jew who was a, you know, survivor of the Holocaust. They don't do it that way. So the only time that they identify people as Jews when they're victims, right? They never identify Jews when they're predators. They don't identify the communists who did the Holocaust as Jews because they don't want that connection. They didn't identify the Hunter Biden laptop as real because the Jews wanted Joe Biden to be president. Jews were the biggest contributors to Joe Biden. They didn't talk about the fact that Jewish New York Times, the Jewish Oppenheimer of NBC, and the Jewish controllers of Google and Facebook and all these Jews didn't want people to know the Hunter Biden laptop was true. So they don't mention the word Jew.
Well, they don't. They don't, unless, as you said, it's
that's the one fact of life, folks, you all have to know if you want to make yourself free and your children free and the existence of our people be preserved.
DavidDuke.com, my friend, always good to talk to you. We will talk again soon. We will get together again soon. But until then.
And Gab at Real David Duke. Gab.
Hey, he's still got social media somewhere. Thank you, Andrew Torba. Keith, and I'll be back.